Welcome back. If you do a web search for energy drinks, you're likely to come across scores of videos by high school and college kids mocking these highly caffeinated drinks.
You want to know what I did in the last 5 hours? Played 6 hours of Call of Duty.
Power walked 67 miles while writing a best-selling novel.
15-hour energy gives you 15 hours of constant pulse-pounding, earth-shattering energy. Once you take a shot of this stuff, you'll never go back to a puny 5 or 6 hours of energy.
I feel amazing.
You look like you're having a seizure.
Chris, you are so funny. I'm not having a seizure, silly. I feel better than I've ever felt before. I never knew this is how you guys feel when you drink this stuff. I love energy drinks. I should drink them all the time.
Yes, those are parodies, but they underscore a real problem. According to the federal government's Drug Abuse Warning Network, the number of ER visits related to energy drinks has doubled from 2007 to 2011, with young people accounting for most of the 21,000 annual visits. Monster Beverage Corporation says the report is misleading, that there's no proof that it's the drinks that are causing the problem and not the health of the drinkers. But the government is investigating 5 deaths that may be connected to energy drinks. And Dr. Mary Claire O'Brien of the Wake Forest School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, for one, is applauding. Dr. O'Brien, first of all, what kinds of things are people complaining about when they show up at the ER?
We see a couple of things, Robin. One of them particularly related to caffeine consumption, health effects like tachycardia, rapid heartbeat, palpitations, nervousness, anxiety, sleep disturbances, high blood pressure. And then a second set of problems related to the mixing of caffeinated energy drinks with alcohol.
We've done stories before on those drinks that are already mixed. Four Loko is one of them, and parents had no idea that these were heavily caffeinated alcohol drinks. But people can mix their own. What happens when they mix, let's say, a Monster with alcohol?
Well, of course, the premixed products are no longer available for sale in the United States because they were effectively banned by the FDA. The main concerns associated with drinking large amounts of caffeine and alcohol stem from concerns about the ability of the drinker to tell how much alcohol they've consumed and to judge when they are intoxicated. Mm-hmm. So concerns about risky drinking, drinking more alcohol than a person would normally be able to tolerate without passing out because of the stimulation effect related to caffeine.
Right, because you're so stimulated, you can't tell you're getting drunk. You know, you mentioned the effects that might bring someone to an emergency room, this palpitation and the sweating and such. Recently, there was an episode of The Office in which they got an espresso machine, and by the end of the half hour, they were all drenched with sweat and nervous wrecks and agitated and at each other's throats, and that was funny. I'm imagining this is not funny. If a young person in particular thinks it's bad enough to go to an emergency room, it's got to be pretty bad.
I think the espresso machine is a very good analogy because much as the manufacturers would like youths and young adults to believe that energy drinks are good products, both as intellectual and physical pick-me-ups, I think there's not a parent on the planet that would think it was a good idea if somebody put an espresso machine in the middle school cafeteria or the middle school gym. The advertising of the products, the marketing of the products, belies the fact that they are not intended for children.
Well, what about some of the claims from Monster Beverage? They say the report was flawed. They say, for instance, that some of the people that ended up in emergency rooms had also taken pills or had alcohol. And so they say there's no proof that it was the caffeine and not these other things that were giving these people a bad trip. Also, they say you don't know if the health of the people themselves was compromised in such a way that that was the problem, not the drink.
I think it's true that it's difficult to establish causality. And of the 20,783 emergency department visits involving energy drinks in 2011, more than half of those, so 58%, only involved energy drinks.
Well, but Monster goes on to say that the report makes comparisons to coffee, and they pretty much distill, although there's a lot of, you know, ounces and milligrams and et cetera, but they say if you have 2 cups of coffee, it's about the same as one of the high-octane energy drinks. Is that true?
I have to say I'm sick and tired of the comparison between energy drinks and coffee. I think it's ludicrous. Coffee's bitter, it's hot, and it is not a beverage that's served to children. Whereas the energy drinks are marketed with fruit flavors, they're in the refrigerator section of the convenience store next to the popular sodas that everybody drinks. Those sodas are regulated in terms of the amount of caffeine in parts per million, and the energy drinks are not. There's no limit on the amount of caffeine in these beverages, nor is there any requirement for them to have labels about the amount of caffeine. You know, if you walk into Starbucks, for example, and you buy a double grande, you know you're buying a highly caffeinated beverage. That's why you walked in there to buy it. And presumably you're a grown-up and you're not 12. But if you walk into the convenience store and it's next to the Coca-Cola and the Pepsi and the other products, and you buy one of these energy drinks, not only may it be very, very highly caffeinated, but they don't have to tell you how much caffeine's in it. And why would you suspect that a product like that would be as highly caffeinated when the cola-type beverage right next to it in the refrigerator section is regulated by the federal government? And these are not.
That's so weird. Why is that?
There is a fluke in the regulations that permits this, Robin. And when the Food and Drug Administration established what was considered to be a safe limit for caffeine as an additive to cola-type beverages in 1959, that limit was set at 200 parts per million. So caffeine is generally regarded as safe as an additive to a cola-type beverage, not to exceed 200 parts per million. However, in the 1990s, when the energy drinks came onto the market with enthusiasm in the United States, it was not clear how they were going to be classified. And so they were classified as dietary supplements. So an energy drink is not a food. An energy drink is not a drink. An energy drink is a dietary supplement, according to the federal government. And there is no limit on the amount of caffeine in a dietary supplement. None.
I can hear the anger in your voice. For somebody saying, you know, who cares if a kid gets jittery? What do you see in the emergency room?
Well, the FDA has a little file of people who have had cardiovascular complications, heart racing, seizures, collapse, and in some cases death related to these products. And it's not the fact that the product contains a very, very large amount of caffeine. It's about the fact that parents and teachers and coaches and school administrators, consumers, young people don't know how much is in the product. It's not required to be labeled, and that the manufacturers are bald-faced and will stand there and say that you can't establish causality. Yes, that makes me angry. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the Institute for Medicine, Health Canada, a wealth of legislators, scientific experts, public health advocates are all clamoring for the FDA to please address what are significant concerns about the health risks of caffeine, and urging the FDA to assert its regulatory authority over the caffeine levels in energy drinks, which are being marketed as beverages, although they do not fall under the federal regulation as such. And yes, I think that the labels should be required to state what is in them.
Dr. Mary Claire O'Brien, an energy drink expert from the Wake Forest School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dr. O'Brien, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
And to read both the government's report and Monster Beverage's response, go to hearnow.org. And while there, a lot of people are listening to our story about the nightclub fire in Rhode Island in the wake of that terrible fire this weekend in Brazil. That's there as well. You're listening to Here and Now.